nominate and vote on an acting president who serves in that role just for a single meeting to run the meeting and preside over the proceedings of DITA. Are there any volunteers from the board that would be interested in doing so this evening?
Do you want me to roll call first?
Yes.
Okay. I'll roll call first.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
Matt Cartier? Absent. Eric Forsman? Absent. Ellie Just?
Present.
Shaquana McIntyre? Absent. Connor Randall? Roz Randorf?
Here.
Therese Timonic?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda, keeping us on track. Somebody's got to keep us on track. Commissioners, it looked like Commissioner Randorf, you did have an interest in serving as the acting president for this evening. Are there any other persons interested in serving as acting president? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of Commissioner Randorf serving as acting president this evening? All opposed? Seeing none, acting president Randorf, if you could please open the meeting. And if possible, I'd like to just make a brief statement at the start of the meeting.
All right. Welcome to the meeting of the Duluth Economic Development Authority, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Fulton.
Thank you, Acting President Randorf. You know, at the outset of a meeting like this, where we just make quorum and we have to have someone be acting president, I want to just thank you all for your service as DITA commissioners. This is not an easy role. You have to vote on some very tremendously complicated policy matters, but I want to address a personnel matter at the outset of this meeting, and I think you're all tracking that our executive director, Chris Fleege, passed away earlier this month. And so it's with great sadness that I sort of want to make reference to this. Chris was a really important leader for our department and for the board, and I was always impressed with his leadership in the role of executive director for DITA. He was an example to me and a mentor to me personally, and someone who was just really a great guy to work with. And so, you know, I don't have much more to say about it than that. I think we miss Chris every day in our office. Just a couple weeks ago, his service was just, I think, last week, and we're trying to figure things out. And so, I want to commend, you know, the staff in our whole department. I want to commend in particular the staff that are here this evening, Amanda, who worked closely with Chris each and every day, but likewise so did Angie and Teresa. And, you know, I think we take a lot for granted as we go about our day-to-day business. We take for granted good government, certainly in Duluth and in the state of Minnesota. We often take good government for granted. Government functions, though, because we've got dedicated public servants like Chris who are doing their job. And Chris was really young, and it's really an immense tragedy across the board, most for his family, for the staff here, for his work family from Minnesota Power, who we worked with for many years, for our community, for our region, for our state, just providing leadership in many ways. So thank you for giving me a moment to just recognize Chris. And, you know, with that, you know, I think we can proceed with the meeting. But I just want to recognize that really good work that was done and something that we'll have the benefits of for a long time.
Thank you, Mr. Fulton. Yes, we feel the loss of Chris Fleege dramatically tonight. Okay, at the top of the agenda, the conduit bond presentation.
Yes, thank you, Acting President Randorf. We'd like to call on Chris Verda and Mia Thibodeau from the Freiberger firm. Freiberger serves as our bond counsel, and we have a handout for you this evening. I think it's already at each of your chairs. But I want to thank this team that does our conduit bond work, and would invite Chris, I think, to come up to the podium and say a few words about this work.
Good evening, commissioners, and thank you for having us here this evening to discuss what is often considered somewhat of a dry topic, although it is an important one, and it's a very important tool that DITA has at its fingertips to help encourage economic development within this community. One prime example is the beautiful new hospital that's going up, the Essentia's building. DITA issued conduit bonds to finance that project. And really, at the end of the day, what conduit bonds are with this tool is it allows private entities to access the tax-exempt bond market. And to do so, federal law and state law requires that these private entities go through a municipality. And so entities such as DITA are given these powers under state law to be able to issue bonds. And as part of the process, usually you end up having to hold a public hearing. And usually there's some very long resolutions that we prepare that you get to approve. And primarily that ends up being basically the entire process. The purpose of DITA really is as a conduit pass-through entity. These bonds, which can, you know, be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, as was the case with the Accenture project, are not a city is not on the hook for repaying these bonds. All the obligations rest with the private party, and those obligations to repay the debt are given to DITA, and then DITA assigns it to the underwriter or the lender that is providing ultimate financing for the project. We have provided a handout that goes into a little bit more detail. It was my understanding that there also might be some questions that some of the commissioners may have had due to recent correspondence that you've received related to certain bond issues. So at this point in time, I guess I would open it up to see if you have some questions in particular.
Great, thank you. We'll open it up to the commissioners. Who has the first question? Did you have an area that you thought maybe there would be a question on, or go ahead and pose one?
DITA in 2018 issued bonds related to a project in East Bethel. It was a project by Woodland Hills, which no longer is around. As part of that project, the project did end up going belly up, and so it went into bankruptcy, so there was a trustee, and so there has been some correspondence that DITA has been included on, but the only reason DITA was included on this correspondence was just because you were the original issuer of the bonds. It wasn't, DITA was not and has never been pulled into any court proceedings or anything. It was just that DITA did receive notice of some of the things that were going on. As part of the recent correspondence, there was some fighting between the trustee of the trust estate, the remaining estate, and Krauss Anderson, which was the builder for the project, who had also provided a subordinate loan to the financing. And as part of that, Krauss Anderson was trying to receive a portion of the trust estate and be made partial possible. And so that's what all that correspondence related to was some litigation between Krauss Anderson and U.S. Bank, which was the trustee.
So in other words, there's always some kind of mechanism to protect DITA in these types of cases?
Yes. The documents expressly state that it is not an obligation of DITA or the city or the state of Minnesota. That it's very clear in many places throughout the loan documentation, as well as one of the things we do at Freiberger as bond counsel is we're here to, you know, we represent DITA, so we represent your interests, and we make sure that nothing puts DITA on the hook when you do issue these bonds. And we give an opinion about that, a legal opinion.
Can you explain to us the difference between a conduit bond and any other typical bond, kind of in layman's terms?
Sure. I guess in layman's terms, a conduit bond is a bond where the municipality issues the bond and then gives the full proceeds to a third-party entity that actually ends up using the proceeds for their project, whereas with bonds that the City of Duluth generally issues, they're general obligation bonds for a specific City of Duluth project, and they're not intended to benefit any third-party or private party. So,
whose job is it then to vet the person who's actually receiving it? Is it the city or DITA's responsibility?
It is. Yep. Generally, these entities will approach DITA and they talk to the executive director. And sometimes I believe there is an application that DITA does have in place that they provide background about the project. And as part of the process, it is not an automatic thing that any entity can just come and that DITA would issue bonds. It really comes down to the board has complete discretion if you are in support of the project or not. And occasionally there are projects where the request is made for a project that doesn't necessarily, it won't necessarily be located in Duluth. And you do have authority to do that. And so in those projects, there usually has to be some good reasons. There needs to be some sort of nexus. Maybe the parent company exists here, but usually there's some sort of rational basis why the request would be made to DITA.
Is protected from any kind of default. Who ends up taking the brunt of that?
Ultimately, whether if it's a private placement, it would be the lenders, the banks, and if it's a publicly sold bond offering, it would be the bond investors.
Any final questions from the commissioners? All right. Well, excellent. Thank you so much for the presentation tonight. Okay, public hearing. Are we no public hearings tonight? And any public here to address the commission?
I don't see any signups.
No one online. Second call for anyone from the public that wants to address the commission. Forward. And no one in the queue?
Nobody in queue.
Third and final call for anyone from the public that would like to address the commission. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
I have a motion to approve from Tominic, a second from Just. All those in favor? Any opposed?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Second is cash transactions. Do I have a motion to approve the cash transactions? Okay, I've got a motion from Just, a second from Randall. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed?
Motion carries.
Okay, new business. Resolution 23D-27 is a resolution approving appointment of Adam Fulton as temporary DITA Executive Director. Do I have a motion on 23D-27?
Second.
That's a motion by Tominic, second by Just. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Now we're on to 23D-28 is a resolution authorizing acceptance of $128,000 from the City of Duluth and approval of a First Amendment to Develop Agreement with Plover Place LLC for construction of the new model of housing for the homeless. We'll take a motion on these before we discuss. So do I have a motion on 23D-28?
Second.
Motion from Tominic, a second from Just, and we'll turn it over to Mr. Fulton for any background on this.
Acting President Randorf. this proposal increases the total by $128,000 to this Plover Place development. Plover Place is going to have 24 new units. It's called the new model of housing, seeking to very efficiently construct, very well constructed, well maintained. Housing that will be operated by One Roof Community Housing in this case. And it's going to be on Palm Street, just behind Central Entrance there. We're already supporting this project. The request here for the board is to consider increasing that to about $1.7 million. This addresses a construction gap that One Roof is experiencing. County is also in this project. County is also increasing their contribution by an amount just a little bit greater than what the city is increasing. So this won't be under construction for a little while still, but One Roof is diligently working on their pre-construction work, and we do anticipate they'll start here by the end of the year. I think the official date and the statement of purpose is January 1, 2024. I hope they start before that. It seems very cold to start on January 1st, but very important and innovative new housing model up there on Palm Street.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fulton. Any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Motion carries.
Now on to 23D-29 is a resolution authorizing a fifth amendment to the development agreement with LSC Flats, LLC, related to the construction of student housing near Lake Superior College, extending construction dates thereunder. Looking for a motion. Motion by Tominick, second by Just, and we'll hear from Mr. Fulton.
Acting President Randorf, we are looking simply for a time extension in this agreement at this point in time. Titanium Partners is the operator for LSC Flats LLC. They continue to work hard to try to figure out the best approach to this development. The construction costs are tricky. The construction means and methods are complicated. We are supportive of this extension, and we also recognize that there is a financing gap in this project, and we are continuing to have ongoing dialogue with the developer as to how to address that. This is an expensive site to get utilities to, is really what it comes down to. And so we're very hopeful that they will establish the mechanism by which they intend to proceed on a short time frame, recognizing that they are very diligently looking at the complexities, doing a lot of value engineering, and the endeavor is to proceed as soon as possible.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Tominick.
Chair Randolph, I do have a question for Mr. Fulton. It's my understanding that if this doesn't get built soon, it won't get built. Is that correct?
Acting President Randorf, Commissioner Tomanek, they, I think, have an intent to proceed on this project. When we say it won't, I mean, we have transacted this property to the development entity. So they now own the property. I guess if there are, issues that go beyond the dates identified here, they could become in default of this agreement. I don't believe, are there any other agreements with LSC? Staff is indicating no. So, what I asked staff is, are there other agreements with Lake Superior College that might be operative? We're not aware of those. We know that these dates, however, are critical. And if a developer fails to meet these dates, they become in default of this development agreement, and we might, in the event of default, ask them to return the property back to the Economic Development Authority. And, I think our goal here is to continue to work proactively with this development group. They are a very talented entity, and we are very hopeful that they'll proceed at a rapid date.
I would just like to tag on to that. I've been so impressed with their commitment to building it as economically as possible. They really understand the need for the housing as well as the need to keep it as affordable for students as possible. So I am in great support of this.
Any other questions from the commission? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and take a vote on Resolution 29. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you. Resolution 23D-30 is a resolution authorizing a redevelopment grant application in the amount not to exceed $300,000 to the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development relating to property located at 3401 Grand Avenue and committing a match of not less than 50% of the awarded amount. Do I have a motion on 30?
So moved.
Tominick moves. Justice second, and we'll turn it over to Mr. Fulton.
Acting President Randorf, we're always excited to have a grant application before the commission. I think this is a strong opportunity for the city and for the Economic Development Authority to advance a project that's in a really great location adjacent to Wheeler. I'm going to call on senior housing developer Teresa Bida to just give us a little bit additional background on this request.
Thank you. Acting President Randorf, commissioners. So this is the former Holiday gas station that MERJ is taking on. We have an American Rescue Plan investment of right around $4 million in this project. It'll provide 80 units of housing for persons earning between 60 and 80%. It's a mixed income project. Due to the existing soil conditions of this formerly DETA-owned site, they would have had to either bring in a ton of fill and then let it settle, and then it's kind of a hope that that can support a residential foundation, or the alternative is that we are designing with Krauss Anderson, they're working on something that can have a hardier foundation with underground parking to also help on the operations side. So in trying to close a roughly $3 million gap, HRA was able to increase their TIF commitment last month by $500,000, and then getting creative with a deed redevelopment grant here We're going in for $300,000. I can't speak to, you know, their level of award, but we're hopeful for that to close the gap, and then the developer will seek equity investors to come in a little bit larger with the project. So the 50% match, just to clarify, will come from the developer as part of their cost. It won't be DITA contributing $300,000 out of their fund or 50% of said match.
Yes, Commissioner Tominick.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I have just a simple question. Does this project have a name yet? Sometimes when we're referring to places, I like to have a name. Oh, okay.
Follow-up question. Is there a reason why it's amount not to exceed 300? Wouldn't we take more than 300?
Acting Chair Randorf, that's a great question. We have to put our amount, but the qualifying costs under the redevelopment grant are pretty strict. And so what we've identified is about $600,000 that we think are strong in the application, some soil remediation, utility improvements, and then some stormwater environmental sort of improvements on the site. So it really is what we think the budget can thoughtfully support.
So in this scenario, if we did get the 300, then DITA would match another 150?
The developer would match.
Got it. Any other questions from the commissioners? All right, seeing none, we'll take a vote on resolution 30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries.
Final resolution 23D-31 is a resolution authorizing a First Amendment to Development Agreement supplement with Merge LLC for the Urbane Duluth project. Looking for a motion.
Second.
All right. Just moves. Randall seconds. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Fulton.
Thank you, Acting President Randorf. Commissioners, I want to just reference that this is the project that is the former Esmond Building, Seaway Hotel Building in the Lincoln Park neighborhood, currently under construction. It's very exciting if you go down to West Superior Street and see it. This is simply a modification to our process and bureaucratic payments as they go through this project and does not modify any other material terms. Staff recommends approval.
Any questions from the commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Tominick.
Randorf, can you remind us what population, who will live at the urbane, and if it's qualified as affordable, what's the deal?
Acting President Randorf, Commissioner Tomanek, this is going to be not less than 40 units total, and all of them must be available to people who have incomes at or below 80% of the area median income.
Thank you.
Questions? Commissioner Just? Yes, please.
Detail here. I didn't. Yep.
To add that the ARPA investment that we're amending tonight actually bought down rents down to 70% for that first 10 years. So
I had it covered with the below. But thank you. It is more clarity there. So thank you, Teresa. I knew I got it wrong.
Dominic.
Chair Randorf, how much ARPA money did we put in?
Acting President Randorf, Commissioners, we have a commitment of ARPA of $784,240, and that mechanism was to buy down those rents a little bit more, those 40 units.
Great. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll take a vote on Resolution 31. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries.
No. Any final comments from Mr. Fulton?
Acting President Randorf, thanks for presiding over the meeting this evening. I have three items, and one of them does involve a short update from staff. Angie Steer is here this evening. First, I want to reference that your first resolution this evening was acting to appoint me as temporary executive director. That is temporary. Position of planning and economic development director is posted at this point in time. We're seeking good candidates. If you know people, please send that around. We would be grateful. I know the staff is very enthusiastic about the process that Mayor Larson and CAO Schuckman have laid out. The second item I want to make sure you're tracking is our economic development audit that was released last week. It's available on our website.
We will be more than happy to provide a paper copy to any of you if you have an interest in diving into it in paper form. And so please let us know. We'll be connecting with the entire DETA board about that economic development audit in more detail at a later date. In the meantime, please take a look at what's on the website. Finally, I'd like to call up Angie, who's going to talk about the Business Proofs Program and just provide commissioners with a brief update on that. And Angie, I can do handouts if you'd like.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Angie Steer, and I am a new economic developer for the city of Duluth. My focus is the 1200 Fund, DETA projects, small business development, and the DPAC commission as well. Short people problems. So what we have here tonight that Adam is so graciously handing out is our update for the Small Business Marketing Match Grant Program. And this program, the handouts include the guidelines, our grant agreements, and draft of what that application would look like as well, with the questions that would be included. Again, these are draft documents that we are hoping to get out by the end of July and made public to the community. And so what we're proposing to do is provide up to 40 businesses with $5,000 apiece towards grant or towards marketing services. We are requiring that though the $5,000 or less that is requested is also matched by either a marketing agency or perhaps the business, wherever they can kind of find those funds. And for we are separating it into two rounds, 20 businesses per round, and this is our first round. We're going to see how that goes, what that interest is like, and fine-tune our process from there.
If you like it, questions from us?
Any questions? I'd love to hear it. Yes.
Open it up for questions from the commissioners. I'll go ahead and start it out. Fantastic program. What is the proof of either running the ad or placing the billboard or running the spot or creating the website for DETA to know that the money was spent on that particular purpose?
Are you asking what are we kind of gathering out of what we're getting?
Purchase.
So we are going to be including a photo release, press release into the grant document so we can gather that information on the grant report. So at the end of our grant agreement, there is a a dispersal report. Yes. So that way we can get, you know, who all applied, what their cost, the requested amount of funds include, what progress that made, what marketing agency they chose to partner with. Did the grantee consult with any business or nonprofit institution for helping well with that marketing plan that's required? And essentially tracking all of our questions as well. If the applicant is minority-owned business or a BIPOC business, we're asking that question so we can follow those and get a image link, whatever those marketing products are, that we know what they actually use those funds for so we can understand what really the demand is.
So no receipt from the... Oh, we are asking for a receipt?
We are asking for proof of purchase and payment. Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Yes.
So for the entities that are selected to receive the grant, can they work with any marketing firm they want, or is it somebody local, or can they kind of go wherever?
They can go wherever. We did do an RFI and received five marketing agencies that were willing to help out those businesses that maybe weren't familiar with a marketing agency that they know of locally, but we are opening it up to any kind of marketing agency that they are comfortable working with.
Okay, so we don't have approved ones they can go through.
We have five that were provided to us from the RFI.
So we're giving them, here's a list of five, but if you find anyone else beyond this, they're okay to use that. Who are the five?
It's disclosed very briefly on the very back page of your grant agreement. 8-Bit Studio, that was a company that predominantly website development out of Hutchinson, Minnesota. Creative Arcade, local in town. Duffy, that was out of Minneapolis. And we requested all of the above information that's detailed here. So that includes cover letter, background of the company, resume, references, list of services offered, and a breakdown of cost for services. I do not have that included on this draft version, all those details, but that will be what was asked and we have in our possession.
Marketing agencies, where's like the DNT on here and WDIO or you know what I mean?
Even RFI response from them.
But wasn't it their idea? The Duluth News Tribune? Didn't they bring this forward as an idea?
So?
They're not one of the five?
Respond to our RFI process.
I'm just surprised there's no local media on here.
I agree.
And these different studios, they offer what, creative, like logo design, or what are they offering here?
They offer a variety of things from brand awareness, website development, really all of those things. I didn't see a whole lot in actual like physical product development that they offered, but they did have a variety of different and interesting, well-known, kind of household names of references as well within these groups.
Are we worried at all with this program that we're going to have a lot of like logo design and a lot of theory and not a lot of brand awareness built or top of mind or customers in the door type of movement? Because the goal of using this money was to help them make more money to grow, right? Do we, you know, at this point, are we still thinking it's going to have the same effect with
this? Acting President Randall, if I can just jump in for just a second. I think broadly speaking, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not opposed to them spending some money on logo design. But I think the goal here is not necessarily us telling them how they can best get customers in the door. It's empowering them act on their marketing plan that hopefully they've already thought a lot about. And I do think there will be a level of scrutiny that we'll need to apply. We don't want them spending this in a frivolous way. This is serious money that we're putting forward in the process that is intended to have specific outcomes for the community, not just the business. We're doing this because we want the businesses to thrive and succeed and make more money and have more people through the door. But at the same time, we do also respect that they're the ones running the business. And there will be some decisions that happen through this process that may be inconsistent with simply placing an ad. It's not necessarily completely direct. As you've all been talking, I keep thinking of the TV show Emily in Paris. You know, it's a marketing agency that's in that emerging marketing economy. I'm thinking of that because there's a lot about marketing that today I don't know. And so I think there is a level of we need to embrace a little bit of that. But this is definitely a little different than I think any of us anticipated initially.
I'm just still perplexed at the reason why the News Tribune brought this forward and they're not on here. Did they pull out of this program because we took too long? Is that what happened?
Not aware of that.
Acting President Randolph, we did not have communication in recent, you know, as this is coming forward. We can certainly reach out if you like.
Didn't like miss an RFI.
I don't know.
Yeah, Acting President Randolph, this is one that I don't actually have all the details on process either, so we can certainly circle back and get more details.
Flexing in a world of right now media dollars so fragmented and everyone wanting dollars that we wouldn't have a TV station on here, Northern News Now, anybody's not hungry for marketing dollars. This doesn't make sense to me. It means they don't know about it. Because
we'll double check.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was done through a city of, you know, sort of how we do RFIs across the board. We'll double check. That's our marketing issue if we did miss it. So we'll double check.
Any manager in their right mind would want to be on this list.
Probably within the next week or so, we'll circle back and reconnect with the board via email.
Some of our local agencies, because again, we're helping them as well.
Right. So,
okay, excellent. Any other questions from commissioners? For Just.
First of all, coming from the small business world, I think this is great, especially from DITA. I think for many years, DITA was a little scary to small businesses. So I think this is great. I also think that this is an opportunity for a lot of small businesses to learn about new marketing tools as well, to like go to a company and just say, what are we missing? So I think it's a good education tool for them as well, to kind of give them this money and let the professionals kind of take their business in their hands and be able to run with it and not be scared. So I think this is great. I was kind of looking at the grant application and on the back, like, how did you hear about this program? Are these the ways that this is going to get out to the businesses in town? Are there specific, how is this going to get to everyone in town is what I'm wondering. Make sure everyone knows about it.
I have not discussed that with our public information specialists, but I can certainly do that and provide an update.
Commissioner Tominick.
Yes, I do have a question. Thank you. My question is, if we have on page 2, it talks about, is your business owned by an underrepresented group? Do we have raw numbers of how many businesses are owned by each of these groups and what percent that is of our small businesses owned in Duluth?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Randolph, Commissioner Tomanek, that is something that we have talked a lot about as we developed the BIPOC directory and have done some other efforts as a community. We don't have that in a super refined way, but we could probably get you some cursory numbers going forward. Perfect. Yeah.
My follow-up question is, to support entrepreneurs and small businesses, is there a definition of what that is?
We are focusing on businesses less than 25 employees.
So my curiosity came from, are women still a minority in owning small businesses?
I believe so.
A lot have been opened by women. I'm just, yeah. Okay, if we can find out something along that line, that'd be great. Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners?
And so more so just a comment, just as far as getting this out to the people who need to see it. I think it's a good opportunity to get involved with like the Entrepreneur Fund, Northland Foundation. I think that's a good way to hit a lot of people.
Absolutely. And we are talking with SBDC about having our applicants reach out to them to develop a marketing plan, and they're going to look over all of their materials to see what their gap is and what they could use improvement for, so they know what to go to these marketing agencies with, knowing that these are my deficiencies in my marketing and what I can do to improve that. So we are teaming up with them and other groups as well.
Any final questions? Thank you so much for working on this project. I know it was a long time coming. Welcome to the group, and excellent work. Any final things, Mr. Fulton?
Thank you, Acting President Randorf. Appreciate you presiding over this meeting so effectively. Commissioners, thank you for all being here this evening.
You're welcome. The meeting of the Duluth Economic Development. Commissioners, done. Thanks.
Thank you.